some news to share with y'all today as we get started. It's good news. So around 10 p.m. last night, about 12 hours ago, some of you may know that we have a sister in our church who was expecting. And so I just wanted to let you know that around 10 p.m. last night, Chasey successfully gave birth to a little baby boy. His name is Izan. What we're going to do is I'm going to ask us for a moment to take some time to pray for Izan. I-Z-A-N, Izan. As you know, he was born at 30 weeks, so it's pretty early. He beat Caleb, but not by much, just by a couple of days. And so some of you may know that there are various complications that come or can come with premature babies. But, you know, I think there may be no better church in the world prepared to love on Izan and Chasey compared to ours. Because their story is uncannily familiar with the experience that Sanghyun, Caleb, and myself had. And so just as you have been a loving and caring church family to us, I trust that we can do that for Chasey and Izan. And so I'm going to ask us to take some time, just a couple moments, to pray for them. You could pray for Chasey's recovery. As many of you know, it's a really taxing experience on the body and just psychologically. So please pray for her well-being, her recovery, just even the next future steps that she has to take. Please pray for her. Please pray for the baby. He's doing relatively as best as a 30-week-year-old baby can be doing. So he's healthy. He's breathing largely on his own. It's great news. But like I said, there's always small possible complications that could occur. And so very tangibly, you can just pray that he would be free of infection. That's one of the big concerns that they have right now. So you can pray that the antibiotics work, that he won't be having an infection, and that he'll just continue to healthily grow and develop. He'll probably be at the NICU for at least a couple weeks, usually for about 6 to 7 weeks until he'll be closer to term. So let's just take some time to thank God. Thank God for a relatively smooth birth and relatively healthy baby, that he's prepared us for this experience before. But let's also pray, just in desperation and honesty, asking God to be with Chasey and Izan, just even now. So let's just do that for the next couple minutes, and then we'll continue on in our message for today. Father, we come to you, and Lord, we pray. We pray because we believe that you are really there, and you're really at work, and we thank you. Thank you, God, for your grace in the midst of a challenging situation. And Lord, we thank you that in the midst of it, God, that we've been already able to testify of reconciliation and joy and hope and provision. And God, we pray that would you continue your work in Chasey and Izan's life, God, that you would continue to help them physically recover and grow and develop mentally, God, psychologically. And we pray just spiritually even now that they would know your presence, God, that it would be so close and clear to Chasey. And God, even Holy Spirit, would you continue your work just even in the very functional, practical things of helping Izan grow. And so would you be there, we pray specifically, God, against infection or healing from it. We pray that you would help his eyes and his brains and his lungs and everything else to develop normally and well. Father, we pray that for us, God, would you help us to be a church family that shows love and care to our sister in Christ. God, may we be there for her just as a family, Lord. And so would you continue to write this story, God, and make it one of celebration and joy. God, help us to trust in you and your sovereignty in the midst of these times. And God, would you be praised in the midst of all of these things. We thank you. We thank you, God. That, you know, even though we might have been caught off guard, that you're never caught off guard, and that you're in control. And so we thank you and pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thank you for praying with us now, and I just encourage you to please continue to pray for that family as they continue to work things out along the way. For us today, as we continue on, we're going to be continuing in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, where Paul's writing to the Corinthian church about Jesus' resurrection and its implications. And last week, we were also in 1 Corinthians 15, right? And we saw last week that our really risen ruler reigns, right? We saw that. We saw that Jesus is not just spiritually or symbolically resurrected. He's really resurrected, that we have hope for that. We have grounds to believe that well, and that that has a real implication over our lives because he was raised to rule. We saw that, and in today's message titled Changed for Good, we're going to see that Jesus' resurrection also has implications for our own physical bodies. And so I'm thankful with how appropriate today's message is, even in light of that good news that I shared with you earlier. And so please join me as I read 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 35 to 48. You can join me on your Bibles or up here on the screen. This is what the word of the Lord says. It says, "But someone will ask, how are the dead raised? With what kind of body do they come? You foolish person, what you sow does not come to life unless it dies. And what you sow is not the body that is to be, but a bare kernel, perhaps of wheat or of some other grain. But God gives it a body as he has chosen, and to each kind of seed its own body. For not all flesh is the same, but there is one kind for humans, another kind for animals, another for birds, and another for fish. There are heavenly bodies and earthly bodies, but the glory of the heavenly body is of one kind, and the glory of the earthly is another. There is one glory of the sun, and another glory of the moon, and another glory of the stars, for stars differ from star in glory. So it is with the resurrection of the dead. What is sown is perishable. What is raised is imperishable. It is sown in dishonor, but it is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness, it is raised in power. It is sown a natural body, it is raised a spiritual body. If there is a natural body, then there also is a spiritual body. Thus it is written, the first man, Adam, became a living being. The last Adam became a life-giving spirit. But it is not the spiritual that is first, but the natural, and then the spiritual. The first man was of the earth, a man of dust. The second man is from heaven. As was the man of dust, so also are those who are of dust. And is the man of heaven, so also are those who are of heaven. Just as we have borne the image of the man of dust, we shall also bear the image of the man of heaven." Please join me as we pray for our time in God's word together. Father, we come to you today. And just as we have prayed for Chasey and Ethan, we pray, God, that you would meet us in this time in your word. Father, we pray that your word would come alive. God, that you would grant me much grace and strength today, Lord, just to speak and to bring your word. And Holy Spirit, would you take your inspired word and impress it deeply into our hearts. Would you expose us where we need to be exposed, comfort us where we need to be comforted, and strengthen and lead us, God, where we need to be strengthened and led. And so we thank you for your kindness. We pray that you would use this to affect our lives. We pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. As we continue, I'm going to encourage you to encourage me as we go through this time together in the word. Amen. Thank you. At some point, I think I'm probably going to need someone to say, go on, preacher, just go on, you know, take it. Somebody got to help me out. Exactly. Someone's got to help me out in the midst of this. Some of you may know, I shared before, but there is a Guilty Pleasure Netflix show that I enjoy. And the season of it, the second season of it just dropped and completed this week. It's called Physical 100. It's a Korean show where they get athletes of all different kinds, from swimming to boxing to judo people to rugby players. This year, they even had just a guy who cosplays, like dresses up in different costumes, but he just happens to be jacked, right? And so they get all these people who are basically the most fit people in all of the country, and they have them compete in these really difficult, taxing physical trials and challenges. And one thing you notice is that often what they do is they highlight an athlete who used to be the top undisputed star in their field. And what you'll notice is that throughout the season, they do pretty good up into the first half. But oftentimes what happens is that even though their mental fortitude may be great, even though they may have much experience, eventually it's hard for them to compete because very honestly, they've passed their physical prime, right? And that's one of the sad realities of our physical bodies, that you could take someone who was a superstar, uncontested in their time, perhaps like 50 years ago, and no matter how good they were, they wouldn't be able to stand up to someone who is at their physical prime now. right? That's why if some of y'all know, there's situations where Mike Tyson is being called back into boxing because even though he was such an undisputed force of nature in his time, now he's older. So these young bucks think that they could take him on, right? So that's why you have things like Jake Paul versus Mike Tyson that's supposed to happen sometime in the future. And so this sober, honest decay and decline of our physical bodies, what does the Bible have to say about it? What does the Bible, how does the Bible shape our understanding of our physical bodies? That's what we're going to tackle here in today's passage. And what we see is that the gospel changes our view of our physical bodies, because God changes our physical bodies for good. The one thing for today is that God will give his people restored, resurrected bodies. Restored resurrection bodies. God will give his people restored resurrection bodies. And what we're going to see is that in this passage, there are two realities that Paul spells out for us. Two realities about our changed resurrection bodies. And then we're going to explore three implications of those realities. I'm still going to try to get us out on time, okay? The first reality we see here is that our resurrection bodies will be different. Our resurrection bodies will be different. You know, being here, one thing that's been interesting about Caleb these days is that he's really into cars, right? And, you know, being from the Motor City, I know most of us hopefully know something slightly about cars. But Caleb's been learning about cars, and I think you know at least what he knows, because he's starting to realize not all cars are the same, right? There's the sports car, there's the fire truck, tractors, minivans, ambulances. He knows all these words. He's realizing these cars are different, right? And I think we know that different vehicles have different uses. Right? Even though they're all cars, they're still different from one another. Like, you wouldn't use a sports car if your friend asked you to help move a couch, right? Or you wouldn't use your tractor to go on a family road trip. Like, yes, it's a car, it's a vehicle, but they're different. They're different from one another, right? And that's what Paul is saying here in this passage about our bodies, that the resurrected bodies that God gives us are different from the bodies that we have now, right? So it seems like in the context of the Corinthian church, there were some questions about, well, if Jesus was raised from the dead, what does that mean for us? What kind of bodies do we get when we resurrect? And Paul wants us to know, God wants us to know, the kind of bodies we get when we resurrect, they're going to be different from the bodies we have now. That's why Paul goes at length to explain, hey, there are different kinds of bodies, right? There's earthly bodies and heavenly bodies, right? There's a kind of flesh for animals and a kind of flesh for humans. There's a differentness about them. Sure, they're all bodies, but they're different. And then he says, so it is with the resurrection, right? Our bodies will be different. They're not like the bodies that we have now. The bodies that we have now are meant for this point in time, before Jesus comes back, right? They're just meant for this period from the beginning of creation until when Jesus returns. That's what these bodies are meant for. And later, when he says, you know, a spiritual body, he's talking about bodies that are fit for the rest of eternity to be with God, to be with, you know, his Holy Spirit completely and fully. And so he's just saying that our resurrection bodies will be different. But they're not just different, right? Because the second reality is that our resurrection bodies will be better, right? It's not like you just get a different flavor of a body, right? Like, your current flavor is strawberry, and in the resurrection, your body, it's like you get blueberry. It's not like just different, it's better. And I think some of us can understand this on some sort of level. For many of us, there were probably times in middle school where we felt pretty awkward with who we were, pretty awkward about our bodies. Middle school is generally a pretty awkward time for most people. You're going through puberty, figuring out who you are. And then, by God's grace, most of us, we glow up in some sort of way, right? These are some famous glow-ups that you might be aware of, right? You have Drake in his... Okay, it's coming, it's coming. Sorry, we pause for slightly technical difficulties. There we go, right? You see, like, there's glow-ups that happen, right? You have Drake on the left in his younger days. I think he's like on the Canadian kids programs, right? He's kind of like dorky, but now he's like, cool, rapper, beef, Yeah. And then one of my favorites is Neville Longbottom, if you're a Harry Potter fan. Just a goofy, just normal, you know, middle schooler, but has like a super glow up to like this awesome guy. And so, you know, there's a sense in which some of us, we understand, right, that there's a betterness to the glow up, right? That what they look like now is, you know, better than maybe their goofy middle school self. And Paul's letting us know, hey, our bodies now, that's like equivalent to the middle school version of you, right? No matter how great your physical body you think is now, it's really just like an awkward, not complete version of the body that we will receive in resurrection, right? That there's a real eternal glow up that is waiting for all of us, and that the resurrected bodies we have are going to be much better. And he gives us some of the reasons why they're much better, right? He says that what is sown is perishable, but what is raised is imperishable. It is sown in dishonor, it is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness, it is raised in power. He's saying, in these ways, our body is going to be better. It's not going to be corruptible and perishable anymore, right? Like, your body right now is like milk. It is perishable. It is corruptible. You leave it out too long, it's going to go bad, right? But then sometimes, you know how they have the milk that sits on the shelf at the grocery store, that somehow you can leave it outside for months and it's fine, right? And you see, that's kind of weird. You know, here you have perishable milk, and here you have imperishable milk, right? But he's saying, your bodies are going to be like that. Right now, it's perishable. It's corruptible. Age is going to decay your body, no matter how great it is. But later, that's not going to happen. It's imperishable, incorruptible. Right? He says, now your bodies are sown in dishonor, right? That when we die, there's this dishonorable thing that happens where our spirit and our bodies are separated. You see this happening, and you know that there is a sense in which our bodies are weak, and there's no real eternal honor to them. But he says it's raised in glory, that they're sown in weakness, but they're raised in power. And so the second reality is, not only are our resurrected bodies different, but they are better. So those are the two short realities we see that God, you know, that God wants us to know about our resurrected bodies, right? That yes, we will have bodies in heaven. I guess this is a first, it says, disclaimer, right? So many of us grew up thinking that, oh, heaven is like when we go into the clouds wearing those nice togas, and forever we'll be just like floating around like angels and spirits. And the Christian version says, no. The Bible's like, no, you get physical bodies for the rest of eternity. And those physical bodies that you get for the rest of eternity, they're going to be different and better, right? Those are the two realities that we see here in this passage. And the three implications that we need to tease out from this. The first is that we should not despair over our physical bodies. We should not despair over our physical bodies. And I say this because the reality of our lives here is that for our physical bodies, on a sobering level, there's nothing that awaits us besides sickness and death. And some of us know this. We've lost loved ones over the years. We have loved ones who are sick. We ourselves might be sick. I know we got some amens about our bodies being perishable because this decade is not the same as last decade, right? Last decade, your knees were functioning great. This decade, they need some maintenance, right? Last decade, you know, your shoulder was fine. This decade, it's like you need some oil to loosen it up, right? We know that even for our own bodies, even if we're not critically injured or ill, that there's a breaking down and wearing down that happens for our bodies. And if we did not know that we were going to get better, different, better bodies, it would be easy to fall into despair. If this is the only body you had, if your whole hope for physical bodies was just in this body, then you should despair, because no matter how well you take care of it, it's going to depreciate in value. I hear people talking about, I'm going to buy a car as an investment. And just on a financial from a financial aspect, your car is almost never an investment. It's a depreciating asset, right? No matter what you do, that as if you use it, it's going to depreciate in value, right? Your body's like that. No matter how good you take care of it, it's a depreciating asset, right? It is. It's even if you great maintenance, it's going to slowly get worse. It's perishable. But the gospel says, hey, this is not the only body you have. the different, better body you get is imperishable. And I think that means that we don't need to have despair. When we have loved ones who are in the Lord, when they're going through sickness, when we know people, when ourselves, when we see our bodies changing, we don't have to ultimately despair because we know this is not our only body. We know that we will be raised imperishable. You know, it's quite an interesting thing because what you notice with Jesus is that when he's raised from the dead, he has the marks in his hands and his feet, right? So it's curious because there's parts of his injuries that don't seem to be healed, right? But also, very likely, Jesus' feet and his ankles would have been broken. That's what they did. I mean, when the rods go through your ankles and your feet, when the nails go through, I mean, things break. But it doesn't seem like he's walking around with broken wrists and broken ankles. So there's healing that has happened, right? Jesus' new body, even though it was weak and battered and bruised before, now is raised and is imperishable. It's healed. And so we have hope, right? We don't despair with sickness and death like the way that people who have no hope do. We're able to say no. We know that even though we experience this now, that our hope is that we have different, better, imperishable bodies in the future. And so that means we should steward our body with hope. We don't despair, but we steward our body with hope. We take care of it, knowing that even though it's depreciating, even though it's decaying in some ways, that it's because this is not our last one, we're going to take good care of it until that next car, that next body comes, right? And so that's what the first thing we see is that we should not despair over our physical bodies. The second thing we see, we got to tease it out here, but the second thing we see is that we should not despise our physical bodies. We should not despise our physical bodies. What's easy to overlook in this passage is that this passage reminds us that it's God who gives us these physical bodies. And that these physical bodies is part of who you are. And this is an interesting thing, right? Back in their time and even today, there are people who feel like your body is just like a container for your soul. And there's nothing really great about it. It just helps your brain to function, right? It's just like a container for your brain. Even back then, there were a lot of people who thought the spiritual was what was really good and the physical was really bad. But that's not what we see here, right? Even in the resurrection, God gives you a physical body, right? That's something that is good. God, as the giver of good gifts, gives us physical bodies. God, when he created Adam and Eve, right, and he saw that everything was very good. He saw that about their physical bodies. We should not despise the physical bodies that we've been given by God. And this is important because I think it's easy to fall into a kind of self-hatred about our own bodies, right? So for some of us, maybe it's with our ethnicity and race that we're like, man, why do we have to be this ethnicity and race? Life would have been easier if it was another one. It would have been better even if it was another one. Some of us, I know we may have those feelings in our hearts, even if we might not say it out loud. Some of us, I know much more common is complaints about our physical bodies. And why does my nose have to look like this, or my hair has to look like that, or my ankles have to look like this, right? And there's, you know, these physical traits that you're just not happy about. It's easy to despise those things. And yet here, if God is the one who has given us these things, if God has given us physical bodies for our good, if our bodies are something that we're going to have for the rest of eternity, there's a challenge here to say, don't despise your body. It's not like it's some sort of bad hand-me-down that you got from an unloving relative. Right? It is something that God, loving Father, creator of you, has intentionally given. And so in a world where I think it's so easy to just complain and hate on our own bodies, this says no. God's like, no, like I gave you that body on purpose. I gave you that body for your good. I'm going to give you another even better version of it in the years to come, in the age to come. And so whether it's your ethnicity and your gender, whether it's your height, whether it's your hair, whatever it might be, I think we're challenged here not to despise our physical bodies, but to rather we should steward them with dignity, right? This is a body that the King of all kings has gifted to you to take care of. This is part of who you are and who he's created you to be. Take care of it. And there's no worldview that's going to give you that. No worldview is going to say these physical characteristics about you are eternal characteristics and they're good, God-glorifying characteristics, right? And so I think it really challenges us to say, hey, don't despise the body that you've been given. It's been given to you by God. And then lastly, we see that we also were challenged not to idolize our physical bodies, right? This is from the other aspect, right? Because I think the dark side of shows like Physical 100, the dark side of social media is that it can have you idolizing the physical now body real quick, right? Like, I'm like, dang, like, when I see those shows, I'm like, wow, like, I wish I looked like that, you know? And then you're like, oh, man, like, maybe if I work out, which I never consistently do, if I take care of my diet, I could one day look like that. And it has us idolizing these physical bodies. And it's not just, you know, what's sad is it's not just us who are out of shape that idolizes those physical bodies. Even the people who are in shape have unhealthy relationships often with their own body, right? Body dysmorphia. You would be so surprised to see how many people you think are at the top of the physical specimen food chain are unsatisfied with their own bodies because they have an unhealthy idolizing of their own physical body. And here, God's like, yo, don't idolize this body. This body is perishable, right? This body is perishable, right? No matter how well you take care of it, it cannot be the container of your hope, right? Like I mentioned before, there are people who, for the majority of their lives, their focus was on taking care of their bodies, making sure it operated great. But you can't defeat the decay that comes with time. And so God's like, no, don't idolize your bodies either, right? You got to steward them with hope. You have to steward your body with dignity, but you also have to steward your body with humility because you know this is not the forever body, right? This is not that forever body. And so we have to steward our bodies with humility. And so here, those are the implications that we see. That Jesus' resurrection, we celebrate it because it's good news. It means he's really risen. It means there really is a ruler who conquered death and sin. And it also has such real implications for our everyday lives. It challenges us to have hope in the face of sickness. It challenges us to have dignity when we could rather degrade ourselves and say, no, there's a dignity that God has given your physical body. And it also challenges make sure that we're not idolizing it either. Or we are taking care of these bodies as we're waiting for the different and better bodies that God will give us in the resurrection. And what we see in the Bible is that ultimately, Jesus is the one who gives us this preview of the resurrected body. Right? You see it in Jesus' life. Jesus' body is different. Right? It's kind of shocking in the Gospels, after he resurrects, some of the people who are closest to him don't recognize him, right? Like Mary is right there. He thinks he's the gardener. Like, what? Like, have you ever thought about that story? Like, bro, like, you just came to see this man. You spent, like, years following this person, and then you thought he was the gardener. Bro, what? Or you have the disciples on Emmaus Road walking with him for hours, and they don't realize it's Jesus, right? It's not because it's like, they're stupid, or it's the ancient world, they didn't have glasses, right? It's like, there was something different about Jesus. There was something different about him, right? His body was not marred and tainted by the finite sinfulness of this world the way that his old body was. There was something different. And yet, at the same time, you see that there's something the same. When they do realize him, oh, this really is Jesus, right? Jesus, his ethnicity didn't change when he resurrected, right? His gender didn't change. Like, this is Jesus. This is still Jesus. It really is him. And Jesus shows us that we will get these different and better bodies. And he's the one who makes it possible. Right? He's the one who, with the physical body that he was given, he went to the cross and he died. That old seed of a body, it was sown in death, right? That's what he says here. It talks about how a seed, you don't get the new body until it dies. And we also know in the gospel, it talks about how a seed doesn't bear fruit until it dies. And here we see that in the gospel, Jesus is the seed that dies, not just for a resurrected body, but Jesus is a seed that dies so that he would bear much fruit, our salvation, so that we also could have this same hope that he has, That he, it's not, he's not just exclusively the only one who gets his resurrected body, but he's just the preview. He's just the one that lets you know that it's coming. This is the kind of physical, renewed body you will have. That's why it gives us hope. It gives us assurance to know that what really happened to Jesus is what is really promised to us. And so it gives hope to us. I mean, it is weary, isn't it? Dealing with death every day and every season. Dealing with the decay of our lives. And yet there's hope knowing that there is a resurrection. There is a renewal. There is a better body for us. Those who are in Christ. So that's why we see that God will give his people restored resurrection bodies. And because he gives us these restored resurrection bodies, we should not despair or despise or idolize the bodies we have now. And I pray that we would be a church that could live that out tangibly. That we're people who are taking care of our health, right? But taking care of our health not because our hope is in our now bodies, but because we want to take care of the bodies that God has given us. That we care about people, whether they are 30-week-old preemie babies or whether they are 105-year-old elderly people. We could say there is still so much dignity and value to you, right? Even though your physical capabilities may not be much as a 30-week-old, even though as a 100-year-old person, your physical capabilities may have declined, we see dignity in you because you were created in God's image. And the body that God gave, the body that you have is the body that God gave you. Right? We can see and interact with people differently. And it helps us to avoid the trap of falling into idolizing these bodies that we have. Right? Because how sad would it be if the only joy and hope of your life was your physical prime? Right? Most of us, we passed that. You know, most of us, you know, if you're not past it yet, you're going to be past it someday. Imagine how sad that would be if that was your life. And yet we can say, no, we have these meaningful, fulfilling, hopeful lives because we know our hope is not in our physical bodies now, but it's in the one who died for us, who will give us even better bodies for the future. That's why it's so important for us, even the week after Easter, to see, man, As we unpackage Easter, it's not just that our Savior has risen, but there's hope for us. And in the midst of the despair, the idolatry, and the despising that happens for our bodies, that there is a real hope for change because God changes our bodies for good. And so with that, let me pray for us as we close out this time in the Word. Father, we come to you. And Lord, we'll be honest. You know, even as Paul talks about this, there are some things that are clear, but not everything is clear. And yet we pray that you would give us hope today, God, to know that our physical bodies, God, are not just some temporary throwaway things, but there are things that you have given to us to be a part of who we are and that we could steward it until the fulfillment of the different, better bodies. God, we pray that you would help us. Help us take care of our bodies. Help us not to have too low of a view of our physical bodies. God, help us to care for them, to cherish them, to steward them well. And help us not to have too high of a view of our spiritual bodies, that we would idolize it. But God, help us to see them in light of the gospel so that we can live with hope and humility and with dignity, even though these bodies right now are perishing. God, we trust in you. We thank you that you are the forerunner that has shown us what is to come. And we pray that you would help us to work out that reality in our lives, even here and now. We thank you, God, from youngest to oldest. We thank you from the most able to the unable, God, that you care for us and there's a dignity that we have in you, and God, that there's a hope that can be expressed because of Jesus Christ. We pray that you help us to live in that reality even as we move forward from this time. We thank you and pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. As we head into a time of closing out, I'm going to invite us to stand. And as we stand before the Lord, just give us a moment to pray. To pray on our own between you and God. Maybe for you, this has been a difficult season because you're realizing your body isn't working like it used to. And it's been easy to get down and discouraged. Maybe you just need to come to the Lord and say, God, remind me. Remind me this is not the end. And Lord, help me to live with joy and satisfaction and contentment as I trust in you. Others of us, maybe you've been despising your body. Maybe there are aspects of your body that you hate and that you've been so hard on yourself. And you've been devaluing yourself so much, and you know, maybe this time you have to come to the Lord and confess that, repent of that. Not just acknowledge it, but repent of looking bad and devaluing something that God has given you for good. And ask God to change your perspective that you might see it the way that he does. And so whatever it might be, let's just take a couple minutes on our own, and whatever God was speaking to you about, let's bring it to him and ask him to do a work and continuing the work of changing how we see our own physical bodies. Let's do that for the next couple minutes together.